Mics are live.
We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have six items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
Commissioner Fedorchuk. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, we'll now move into discussion. The first item is the Belle Fouche Pipeline Company application. Pat?
I'm looking at Belle Fouche's filing, and it's docketed as case number PU-20-85, and it was filed as a citing exclusion certification. They want to do some work on the 10-inch crude oil pipeline that parallels the 6-inch that was a topic of discussion earlier today. And they want to do some work on the end of that 10-inch pipeline at the Dickinson Station. And what came up is first of all, I'll just read from the filing, this sentence, and we can talk about it a little bit. But because North Dakota Century Code 49-22.1-013A supersedes the procedural requirements set forth in provision number 30, that would be provision number 30 of the original order that we issued for this pipeline, which said that if they were going to make any changes, we've had this before, that if they're going to make any changes, they'd have to come back to the commission, and the commission would issue a notice and make a decision. But so what they're saying is that the law supersedes the order, and therefore the improvements that they want to do by filing the certification to order provisions, citing exclusion certification, do not constitute construction under the Siting Act, and Belle Fouche respectfully submits that it is within its right to commence improvement activities upon compliance with provisions of the law, which we refer to it as the footprint law. And so they would file a certification that they're not going to impact any exclusion or avoidance areas, that they're going to, all the activity is going to be within the designated corridor, and that they would comply with siting laws and rules and the commission's order. So first question is, we've talked about this several times. If the commission were to agree that the Century Code supersedes the order provisions that we have adopted in the past before the footprint law, and sometimes a little bit after, if the commission agreed that the law superseded the order provision, then we would have less process on these types of filings. For example, today we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. We wouldn't have to issue a notice of opportunity for hearing if we agreed that the law superseded those provisions.
Jack, do we have to take any formal action in order to, or can we simply, and I'm not saying that we've decided because I haven't heard from the others and I still need more information, but can we simply agree, or do we have to take some type of formal action, whether it's on an individual basis or broad brush?
You guys can make a commission determination. They'll be reflected in the minutes if you do have a determination to make on that. What essentially that is direction to staff to apply the law a certain way.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, maybe you want to answer your portfolio. Well, I'll defer.
Okay. Well, I feel like we have talked about this a number of times, and I've always been on the side that the law supersedes and that we should just go ahead that make these changes, allow them to move forward and make the changes with the filings required under the law. And then I feel like we've had this sort of middle ground position where then the companies have, we've done this notice of opportunity for hearing and then amended the order. So I guess, would we still have to do that regardless? Amending the order and taking out this previous piece?
I'd like to think that if the commission decides that the law supersedes the provisions in the order, we wouldn't have to do anything with the orders.
Yeah. I guess if I don't know the downsides to that, but I feel like the legislature was clear in what they wanted, and they didn't want the companies to have to go through extra regulatory process to make the changes in a previously approved corridor. So all that they have to do is file with us. They aren't going to affect any exclusion avoidance area, et cetera, et cetera, and they can move forward. And I'm comfortable with that.
My suggestion was originally going to be that I think in one or more of these cases, as I kind of recall the discussion, we have said that our public utilities division can use some discretion and go ahead and approve, you know, whichever case it was at the time before us. But that it wasn't really setting a policy. And I think that's what we're lacking, I guess, on this. I could envision some scenario where something so dramatic is going to be done that we might regret giving up our position that was in the original order, too. But I think our direction here is pretty clear that for the most part, if there's nothing huge, we would want to defer to the will of the legislature and that staff could go ahead and, you know, kind of carry this out as the company is requesting, whatever the steps are that have to do that, but that without setting it as a total policy, that no matter what or how dramatic it is, that just happens automatically, we could never stop and take a look at something on one of these older orders. So I guess my preference would be to just establish this more as a procedure so that we don't have to discuss it every time, but that staff use discretion.
And again, we can just do that through the minutes.
It would be reflected in the minutes, but it would be a formal.
That's adequate.
That would be adequate. I thought maybe it might be helpful, and I apologize that I wasn't overly prepared to discuss this, but I think we've discussed this enough times that I think I recall what happened in the last few times. And I think the two approaches the commission has previously taken has been on an individual basis, either to let Pat, say, give them the go-ahead subject to the notice of opportunity running, or you guys specifically said go ahead and construct it subject to the notice of opportunity running. And in previously, why I believe the commission did not make the conclusion that this is something we want to completely just say this is superseded is because what they're certifying to is that they're going to continue to comply with all the statutes, rules, and orders. One of those ordering provisions, as we put in there, is that they're going to notify us. So in this specific instance, this is cumbersome. But in a different situation, the commission may have determined that there is a public interest in putting some sort of notification requirements to them, whether it's to protect this wetland or whether it's to protect this landowner for this specific thing if you need to change things. And so the commission has previously, I think if I remember, felt that we want to make sure we retain that discretion in order to do that within our ordering provisions and that it just automatically isn't superseded. And so that's why we continue to go forward on that individual basis, either delegating that to Pat to take a quick review, saying this is okay, go ahead and construct subject to the notice, or as we initially did where the commission did that as opposed to staff.
I would be comfortable with making it more of a policy that we defer that to staff so we don't have to have this discussion each time. But
on a continuing basis.
Right.
I am too.
And then when if something huge happens, we've still got the potential hold.
Okay, so the minutes will reflect then that we are granting staff the discretion to decide whether or not it's a matter that should be noticed to the public or if it's just something that can be worked internally. Is that
not noticed to the public, noticed to us?
Both to the commission and true, because it would be noticed to us and we'd make that determination whether or not to proceed further or not.
What we would be...
I'm just saying if something...
The part of the process that
would...
reflected
in the minutes, it's clear.
But the part of the process that we wouldn't do then is the notice of opportunity.
Yeah.
So we would be saving that part of the process.
Unless it was directed by the commission on it for something that might be considered unique or...
Right, and then I would bring it to your attention.
Yeah.
And then... for the commission to decide whether a notice of opportunity was required based on the situation. What the company has asked for then is that I believe would write one of those letters where we acknowledge that they have filed under the footprint law. It doesn't say we're giving them permission. Those letters don't typically say we're giving you permission to proceed with construction. They just acknowledge that the filing was made. And so I would recommend that we continue using that style of letter.
Well, we put together a memo of sorts, so in 10 years or 15 years, if someone looks back on this, they have something other than trying to find the audio recording.
Staff could write a memo.
Just something simple.
Every time there's a filing like this, you know, recommending whether there needs to be, you know, whether we recommend a notice of opportunity.
No, I'm talking.
It needs a policy.
I'm talking a policy memo on our discussion that just occurred. So someone doesn't have to dig back into the March 4th, 2020 audio and minutes to just, well, when did that happen? Just something simple.
In the minutes, then? Would it be part of the minutes, then, or would there be some other?
No, the minutes will just reflect that there is a policy memo.
I'm just trying
That's easy enough to do.
I'm just thinking of in 15 years or 10 years, maybe I'll be here forever, maybe I won't. I don't know. But
6 months when the next one of these comes.
Yeah.
Well, because we've discussed it so many times.
Right.
And in this case, so you're going to... because there is nothing that I've been made aware of that's dramatic. So you're going to send them a letter that they have
made the filing
as required. And go ahead.
Right. All right, thank you.
So are we still going to issue the notice on this one?
That's a good question. You acted on it this morning.
So then what? Do we have to?
Guys already approved the motion, so there'd have to be a subsequent motion.
Yeah.
Why don't we just let this one go through the process as we've approved it?
Sure. They plan to construct immediately, though, wait for the notice to.
Oh, that's true.
Based on that letter, at least my reading of it was that
they were asking that they were saying they were going to proceed with the construction. Mm. Yeah.
Which I think that's also something you can provide Pat the discretion to acknowledge the fact that they can begin the construction as well. Essentially what I didn't understand quite from the discussion until we just wrapped up at the end that we're essentially providing Pat the discretion to decide whether the notice of opportunity is required or not. I initially thought it would the notice of opportunity was going to run, and Pat was going to have the discretion whether to tell them, go ahead and start constructing.
That's what I thought, too.
Right. So... either way, I imagine we can go forward. But if we're doing the approach where Pat is deciding whether no notice of opportunity needs to run or not, we're essentially deciding whether we're waiving that ordering provision on a case-by-case basis, which can be done as well.
I thought we were giving staff the discretion to acknowledge that they filed and they're going to start construction, but we would do the notice and if someone has something dramatic, maybe they bring something to us that we're not aware of and that there should be a hearing.
No, we are, but again, we just previously approved a notice of opportunity.
Right. And I think I'm okay with that.
So that doesn't slow the company down based on what we just talked about, where they can, assuming Pat doesn't.
Well, the notice of opportunity for hearing is only on the changing of the order.
Yes.
Taking out that provision. It isn't on the actual changes that the company is making.
Correct. Right.
That's true.
So, but I mean, I don't understand really the point of that. Who's going to have an objection to changing the order to that? No, it seems...
Yeah.
In the future, that provision requires a notice of opportunity for the actual changing and the modification to the facilities, though. So this instance, it's whether we were going to remove that from the order, and we did a notice, which ultimately we'll remove it. In the future, we're wondering, like, I think staff is wondering whether that notice of opportunity for the public for that modification, whether Pat has that discretion to say we're going to essentially waive that notice requirement, or essentially we do believe there is a reason to force them to have, or to act to issue a notice of opportunity for the public.
Right. So we're basically saying, Pat, you can, we're not going to follow this provision in the former orders because the law supersedes it. So they don't have to, all they have to do is file with us. We're getting tangled up on.
Are you also authorizing him to decide whether or not there needs to be a notice of opportunity and to issue it if there needs to be one?
Well, okay, but there's two different notices that I think we're getting confused by. A notice of opportunity to change the order and take out that provision, or a notice of opportunity on the actual project changes that they're envisioning. I mean, the latter on the project changes, the law doesn't require that anymore. That's what the law did away with.
The law requires them to provide a certification that they're following the statute's rules and orders, and we view those orders as our ordering provisions, those conditions. So they're certifying that they're going to follow the orders, and whatever ordering provision says that the notice of opportunity is required for the modifications.
Right, but right. Don't you think that, I mean, just because... Do you think the legislature envisioned that was in our orders and that they were going to have to follow that order too, even though they just told them you don't have to?
I'm not necessarily...
I mean, it gets so circular.
It does get circular, but I think the distinction is important because that some modifications may require... You're requiring an additional notice in the future. I mean, the vast majority of the ones we're seeing, yes, obviously, that they seem very clear. At least this is the discussion that we've had previously.
So, do we have to, first, do you feel that in all cases we have to get rid of that ordering, that provision, if they, like, that has to go, and we have to do that notice of opportunity of hearing to get rid of that provision in the orders, the original orders?
I think if we
require them to come to us.
I think if we're taking a very strict reading, then yes. However, what I think Pat was proposing was, and I'll break it down from each specific instance. The one on this motion, this notice of opportunity to amend, I think Pat was looking to have the discretion to tell them go ahead and construct during the pendency of this notice of opportunity and subject to that. On the second part, moving forward, and again, this is just what I've gathered from this meeting. I believe what Pat was requesting was, please provide me the discretion to decide in the future whether this notice opportunity is required pursuant to this provision of the order.
On what, though? What notice opportunity for
the,
what?
When on the notice of opportunity for the modifications, when they...
To
when
the it, order or to the modifications to the project?
The modifications to the project. So whenever time this comes up in an order and he looks at this modification and there's provides some certification that they're going to follow the order, one of the order's requirements is the notice of opportunity. I think he was requesting the opportunity to say, in this specific instance, we don't believe that this is necessary. This is such small consequence. We're going to waive the requirement of this order for notice of opportunity. And he'd provide you a memo, and it would just kind of go along its way. I don't, Pat, am I reading that correct? Am I understanding that correctly? So well, essentially,
it, if I could have like what everything I wished for, I would say the only thing I would like to do in situations like this is to send the letter acknowledging that they made the filing, and that, you know, they've said that they're going to construct within the designated corridor. They're going to follow the commission's or the laws and the rules and the commission's order, except for that provision that's been preempted by the law, and call it a day. You know, that would be it. So we wouldn't issue any notices for amending the commission's order, and we wouldn't issue any kind of a notice for the project that they're proposing.
I agree with you, because on this one, we actually required a $10,000 filing fee. Mm-hmm. They had to send in and submit just to get a notice of opportunity to change the order. I mean, so this company has $10,000 tied up in this.
Sure.
And then we're going to have to come back and refund all of that. That's just a bunch of paperwork. What public good is being realized by that? It's just shuffling paper. That's just senseless, in my opinion.
Sure.
I think we're all in agreement. It's unnecessary red tape. It will help streamline the process, and I think insert an element of common sense into how we go about these things.
And maybe just for my own clarification, so the commission's decision then is, to the extent that this ordering provision shows up in our certification relating to order provisions for old projects, the commission has determined that we are waiving that requirement, and it's no longer required.
That's preempted.
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
But I don't know. But Randy wanted it.
Let me ask one question: what that would mean legally in a situation? A year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, someone builds something that was in a corridor that was way different than ever expected, and it causes a bunch of problems. And the legislature says, enough of this. We're going back to the way it was. You have to come back and get permission. Okay? Then certificates that are out there now that have this requirement in, before we suspended putting the requirement in, have never done anything, and then we get after that time, would that order still be there, or are we kind of going back if we do this and just saying that's gone from all these? If we're ever to go back to it, it'll take new action.
And I haven't put a whole lot of thought into the specific circumstance, but I believe with the decision today, us making, just because you're waiving something today doesn't mean you're perpetually waiving something. And so if that changed, then I imagine at that point the commission would probably change its mind, which it can do, and say we are no longer waiving this ordering provision moving forward.
Because it wouldn't be consistent with the law anymore, because the legislature, sure, under that scenario changed it.
Because we don't change our mind, we recognize new facts.
Right.
Grant might have been at this too long.
It worked. Five plenum. Plus. Is that correct? Five plus plenum?
Yeah.
So I didn't even know what a plenum was until I got here. So
I still don't.
Yeah, and the other part, too, we're entrusting staff to screen in the event that they feel there is something we need to see and should be aware of, that will occur. Pointed out.
The only time that the law does actually provide for commission involvement in one of these footprint filings, and that is when a company is going to impact an avoidance area. That would be the only time that the staff would, you know, bring that to the commission's attention.
I would say, though, that in addition to that, that your authority to require a hearing or issue a notice for any concern that may arise, you have, it's well within your jurisdiction to, in authority to do that at any point in time.
Yeah. If a company decided with an existing facility, for example, to put 10, 5,000 horsepower motors in along a 100-mile stretch or whatever it might be, even though it's in the footprint law, I would at least want a heads up that that's occurring. I mean, that's significant, something like that. So I think that's just easy to recognize those unique circumstances. But I think the vast majority of the time, this will help speed things up. And I think it's good. Did we effectively just eliminate a layer of red tape, or did we?
I think so.
I think we did.
So, Jack, you and Pat will craft a policy memo to go with it.
And it's effective in this case.
Yes.
So if we wanted to go the next step and get rid of that motion that we passed this morning, could we do that and return the $10,000 and save the headaches of having to...
We don't have the $10,000 yet, so
okay,
we're good there. We would just not assess $10,000. We would retract the motion, I guess.
Jack, can we do that within the confines of... We're still in the same meeting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could actually do a motion at this point in time. So we could take an oral tennis motion, an oral motion from someone, and we can memorialize it in a scripted motion just for our own records.
Okay, I'm pulling out my original one here. I believe it was JF6. Is that right, Pat? So
I don't have that agenda with me.
Would the correct...
it would be case number...
it's under 14135. Okay, yeah. So my motion would be to rescind this motion?
Yes.
Okay. So... Do I need to read that old motion in the rescinding of it?
I think you just can make a general motion and we'll memorialize it, and we'll do it subject to the normal procedure.
So I move that the commission rescind the motion from previously approved at this meeting today on case number PU-14-135.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
You said that case number, and I don't know why in the JF6 it's 14135, but here it's 20-85, and so just make sure you get in that motion the numbers as needed.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved, and the motion is rescinded.
Thank you.
All right. We have... Move fast. No. We have two scheduling matters that I'm aware of. The first is annual...
Mr. Chairman, we do have one small addition to the discussion, if you would, please. And that is that... Commissioner Christman received a letter from the National Guard on a environmental issue at, I believe it's the Grafton Training Camp, and it's asking for if the commission has any issue with their environmental assessment. I would recommend that we just give it to staff to respond to.
I agree. I think I saw the same one a year ago. Something similar.
To be clear, they want to build a camper pad, but it involves a road and a bunch of trees will need to come out. And they're asking for our agreement that it's not an environmental problem. But I can't remember the words exactly.
We don't have any authority on that.
We don't have any authority. But here's what I think, out of respect for the fact that, you know, we request them to participate in our hearings if they have issues and stuff. I don't think we want to just ignore it because it's not in our area. I think we want to respond.
I think we should
point out that we have no jurisdiction.
Well, I think we should respond and let them know that we don't, as you state, it's not an area of jurisdiction for the PSC. Appreciate, you know, the information, but in the future as well, because I can think of another one from them that came in about a year and a half ago. And right. they just, you know, they're just trying to cover their bases, but they're under the impression that they need to notify us, and they don't. If life was only as easy as a camper pad, right?
Camper pads.
Maybe we should act on it.
Okay.
All right. And then, so we've got that covered. You'll respond, correct? Then next is strategic discussion. Or no, actually, I'm jumping the gun. Annual rail service and safety stakeholder discussion. Conrad.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairman. Commission typically hosts this around May of each year, so I wanted to approach the Commission to get some ideas of some dates and timeframes that would work well for that. And right now we're looking, ideally it seems like the two dates that seem to work really well would potentially be May 13th and May 27th. Those are both regular commission meeting days with currently no afternoon informal session scheduled at this point. Typically we schedule that meeting for approximately 2 hours. Last year we had it run from 1:30 to 3:30.
So I was a little slow pulling up my calendar. Could you give the dates?
Yeah, no problem. May 13th or May 27th. And that's just tentative. That's just what I saw that might work on the calendar since there are already regular meetings those days.
I'm fine with either of those. Is there a preference from the industry?
I've got some response back from them that either one would work, but I'm still waiting on some more responses. So okay. I haven't received those as of when I was able to talk to the commission.
Because typically we want to make sure that the main lines have representation
right
there. So if you can confirm when we set a date that they can and be there for that date, that's important. And we can adjust it if they can't, maybe to the other one.
Okay.
I'm good with either.
Are you good with either?
The informal time in the afternoon of that date.
Of which, yes. Which, so at this point, does either day seem open and available?
They both work for me.
Okay. Commissioner Crosius?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't hear your response. So, all right, I will work with the class ones and make sure that we'll get one of those nailed down and then send a response and follow up for that.
Good. And then you'll mark it. Because sometimes, just make sure that it goes from informal to real estate.
Absolutely. We'll get that changed. We'll get that noticed and everything
right,
once
perfect.
We make the official.
Thanks, Conrad.
Yep, no problem.
All right, and then Steve, strategic discussion.
We're working on the strategic slides for the governor's discussion, and we expect to work with Commissioner Crosius or Chairman Crosius this week, and I'm looking at something either late next week or early the following.
I would prefer, if it works for the other two, late next week to give a little more lead time in the event that there are...
Late next week, so like the 12th.
Or
13th. When is our... Do we have a review scheduled?
31st.
Or even midweek.
I'm open. I'm pretty open on the 11th and 12th.
Well, I think our afternoon is probably taken on the 12th.
Oh, yeah.
You've got something on the afternoon.
And Steve, for your reference, and Jill, I'm very open, essentially open on both the 9th and the 10th for preliminaries. So I don't know if the 11th works or...
I like the 11th.
Either the morning of the 12th or the 13th.
Versus the 11th?
Yeah.
You out then?
No, I just need a little lead time there.
Oh, morning of the 12th? How does that sound?
Sure.
Yeah, could we start it kind of early? 'Cause
8:30-ish.
Someone else that wants some meetings, I had recommended that they maybe try and do it on the 12th in that I knew we were all around the office that afternoon, and they've never gotten back to me on that. But if they do, you know, something might fudge into noontime or something a little to make two things work in the same afternoon. So if we could have this wrapped up you know, before noon would, I think, be helpful.
Okay.
Maybe.
Let's set it for like 8:30. Yes.
Can we, I'm sorry, can we say 9? My daughter has a doctor's appointment that I'm, 8:30 is going to be tight for me to get from that.
Okay. So we are set on that.
I have one more thing to add.
And do we have any other additions?
Yes. April 15th, we have a meeting scheduled. It coincides with the LEC annual meeting. I found, in just my own opinion, things that were probably less connected to my work here in the early afternoon. And so I'm wondering if we could potentially just cancel the informal and move the commission meeting from 1 to 3.
From 10 to 3?
No, from 1 to 3.
Move it from
move it from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock.
Well, isn't there usually a lunch thing? So should we say 1:30?
Okay. That'll work too. Because, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
And that's April 15th.
Yes.
Tax day. Woo-hoo. Doesn't get any better than that.
Favorite day of the year.
Yeah. So we're canceling the informal and moving our commission meeting to 1:30, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the one good. Informal is off and replaced by commission meeting. Okay, anything else?
Thank you. I do not have anything else.
Okay. Seeing nothing else, we are adjourned.